face. Let's all sing it together. You don't have to stand. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Second verse. What is the second verse? My heart to fear and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, come on, sing louder, have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 slower than years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Thank you, everyone. Very good singing, I hope, in all of your own homes. A couple of quick notices. All of our services will be at the normal times. So tonight at, where's my notices sheet? Oh, yeah. At 5 o'clock, we'll be in Job chapter 36, where Elihu is giving his final discourse, Days in Prosperity. And then Wednesday night, we can continue our series in John chapter 6, A Great Wind. That was my daughter's fault, just so you know. Because I think your phone connected, or maybe Mom's did, I don't know. Also tonight, we'll take some time on the screen to take testimonies. If anybody has any testimonies of God's goodness during this time, that'll be great. Shane Keyes asked me just to remind everybody, if you would like more information on how to do your church giving online, to contact him. And you can email him at treasurer@rotaroobiblebaptist.co.nz. So that's treasurer@rotaroobiblebaptist.co.nz. That's our treasurer, Shane, if you want to ask him any questions about giving online. And just remember to pray one for another. Pray for our country. Pray for our missionaries, please, daily. And we have especially Vanessa, Daryl, Phil, and Isa all working in the healthcare field in one form or another, asking for prayer. John Murray asked us to pray. Pray for John Ralston working during the holidays. And pray for Mikey trapped in Germany and Caleb over in Australia. If you have other prayer requests, feel free to type those in, and we'll make sure those get shared with the rest of the church. Okay? Can you check to see if there's any prayer requests on there? Just scroll over, yeah. Anything? No prayer requests? Okay, thank you. Any testimonies?
Not yet.
So just comments about the sound and stuff? Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I think that's all I have. Birthdays and anniversaries for April, there aren't any this coming week. But there will be the following week. So if you want to get something out of the birthday box, you can plan ahead for that. All right. I think we've given it enough time for everyone to get dialed in. We've sang a song. I don't think we'll do another song, but we will at least in our main services sing one hymn together. And right now we're going to go to the book of Matthew and chapter 11 for our time in God's Word this morning. So Matthew chapter 11, if you would, turn in your Bibles. And this is a great learning passage about from the life of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 11. So I'm going to read this, just the first six verses of Matthew 11 this morning. Did it look like everybody was pretty much dialed in? Okay, good. Matthew 11, beginning of verse 1. It came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. So here in Matthew 11, that John the Baptist asked Jesus the question, do we look for another? So that will be our title this morning. Lord, we pray that you would use your word now in our hearts. We thank you for the technology to be able to do this online during the virus. And we pray, Lord, that each of us would learn something to help us better serve you, and that you would use the truth of your word in our hearts today. And so we're grateful for your kindness and give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you want to scroll and make sure we're all good?
Cindy McVeigh said, her sister is on the front line testing people. Just pray for protection for her.
Okay, pray for Cindy's sister on the front line. Anything else?
Not that I see.
Okay, cool. Very good. So, Matthew 11, beginning in verse 1, notice that Jesus is commanding his disciples. He's still working with his disciples. In the course of that, one of John's disciples, remember John the Baptist had some of his own disciples, one of his disciples came and asked the question of Jesus from prison. It's quite an interesting question. He said, Art thou he that should come? So I want you to think about who's asking the question. This is John the Baptist. This is the one who actually introduced Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, he said, John seeth Jesus coming at him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He was the one that was prophesied of in Isaiah 40 to come and introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to the world. But here, not long after he started his ministry, he's been put in prison. And from prison, he sends a messenger, one of his disciples, to Jesus and said, Are you the one? And so it just shows what can happen if we're not careful, if we lose sight of the Lord and the importance of the Word in our lives. We can actually, in the midst of a major trial, lose sight of what's important. We can lose sight of even the Lord. Of all people, you would think that John the Baptist would have been confident that Jesus Christ was the one, since he's the one that introduced him. But here he is in prison, and he says from prison, Are you the one? Or it says, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It's really almost, in some ways, a blasphemous question. But John was in prison. I guarantee you, John, who was the chosen forerunner of Jesus Christ, did not anticipate being put in prison so early in his ministry. But he did say in John chapter 3, he must increase, but I must decrease. He didn't realize that that was going to come true so quickly that not long after he begins his ministry, he ends up in prison, which he did. And so I want you to notice here, if you go to Matthew 11, verse 19, just another another ways down the same verse. It says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. They say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. So here he's rebuking these cities for not repenting when they see the miracles and the amazing works of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 22, I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. So he's rebuking them for what? Their lack of faith. He's rebuking them for not believing in the person of Jesus Christ when they see his amazing works and hear his amazing words. And in a way, he's going to rebuke John as well for his lack of faith. But what does it mean? It means that if we're not careful, we can have expectations for what we think God wants our life, how we think God wants our lives to go. And when they don't go that way, we can get very disappointed. We can get despondent. We can get upset. We can actually lose sight of what it's all about and about of the Lord. You know what? God is not obligated to make sure that life goes the way we want it to go. Think about that. I think back to Elijah. I mean, Elijah was one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, right? And here Elijah takes the opportunity to prove to the people that God is God. And Elijah himself, and you talk about a man's man, killed over 400 prophets of Baal. I assume he did it with a sword. Imagine that. Then one woman, Jezebel, threatens him and he runs and hides in a cave. And while he's hiding in the cave, he says, you know, Lord, I'm the only one left. He was wrong, and God eventually had to wake him up and say, get back to work. But what caused it? Well, he faced opposition from Jezebel. He got afraid, and then he started having wrong thinking, and then he took off and ended up basically depressed. And God had to bring him back with the still small voice. So here we have John the Baptist in prison. He's shocked. I'm in prison already? I just started my ministry. Here, I've all my life I've been preparing for this amazing ministry, and I've been baptizing people. I've been introducing Jesus Christ, and now I'm in prison. And so he sends a disciple and says, are you the one? And if we're not careful, if we find ourselves in trials, we can start to doubt. Doubt that God cares, doubt that God will take care of us, doubt that God will answer our prayers, doubt that God can give victory, and God can do all of those things. But I want us just to be encouraged this morning that God always keeps his promises. And that is what Jesus' answer is going to be this morning. Is Jesus is just going to say, John, I want you to look at what's happening. I want you to look and see that I am the answer to all the Old Testament prophecies. And so now to verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto him, go and show John. So John says, are you the one, or do we look for another? Go and show John those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus said, I want you to go tell John that all these prophecies in the Old Testament are coming true about me. And so Jesus was essentially pointing to the Word of God as the answer to John's question. And my friend, the Word of God is still always the answer. There's going to come a time when you find yourself in the middle of a trial. You're going to be like, wow, I didn't see this coming. I didn't expect this in my life. God, this wasn't what I had laid out for my life. And if we're not careful, we're going to say, is this really right? Is this God's plan? Does God really care? And that's not where God wants us to go. God instead wants us to go to his amazing promises and to believe his word. And by the way, there's a lot of promises in the Bible made to us as God's children. And all of those promises God always keeps. But he doesn't promise for life to go the way we expect it to go. And John the Baptist did not expect to end up in prison and have his head taken off, not long after. But he just went to heaven. So think about this morning, that deep trial that you might find yourself in or that you've been in, and how the devil whispered in your ear and said, like he did to John, is this right? Should I be following God? Should I be doing the right thing? Should I be serving the Lord or not? And stop and say, no, you won't. You know what? God's word is true. God's promises are true. God promised, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. That is true. God promised that to me. God said, call on me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That is true. God said in Isaiah 26, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That is true. We can trust the promises of God. In Proverbs, he said, delight thyself also in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That is true. God will direct our paths. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We could do this all morning. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth thee, who also will do it. Let us hold fast the profession without wavering. He's faithful that promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, it shall be given him. And we could go on and on. God keeps his promises. And Jesus said to John, or to John's disciple, I want you to go back and I want you to say to John, John, look, all the things that were prophesied of me as the Messiah are coming true. Look. Just tell him what's happening, that I am healing the blind, I am healing the lame, I'm healing the lepers, I'm healing the deaf, I'm raising the dead, and I'm preaching the gospel, just like was prophesied. And then he says in verse 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. He's basically saying, John, just because you're in the midst of a trial, that doesn't mean that you need to get offended. That doesn't mean you need to stop and question. And just because we might find ourselves in the middle of a trial that we didn't expect, that we might find ourselves in a certain situation in our lives that we didn't think God was going to allow, that doesn't give us license to stop and say, Lord, is this right? Should I be living for you? Should I be a Christian? Should I be doing the right thing? And those are all silly questions. Go to the Word of God. And trust that the Lord is the answer. Trust that the Lord keeps his promises. Trust that heaven is our home and that we will spend eternity with him. And so in verse 6, Jesus says, blessed is he swore for not be offended. The devil might tempt us to get offended when we go into certain trials. Offended by others. I'm sure that's never happened to anyone. Jesus said in Matthew 13:21, He that hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended. You can get persecuted, you can get attacked, and if you're not careful, you can get offended. But God says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Jesus did not really directly answer John's question, did he? You know, John said, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Jesus didn't say yes. Jesus said, go tell John all that's happening. Go tell John all these miracles, all the people that are getting healed, all the people that are getting raised from the dead, all the people that are hearing the gospel of the Lord. Go tell John what's happening, that I am the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, that I am doing exactly what you said I would do, which is be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It wasn't long after that John's head was taken off and he was sent to heaven. So, no, God did not miraculously release John from prison. You can say, well, he could have. Of course he could have. God can do anything. But John, honestly, had to be removed because the focus needed to be Jesus. And there were many disciples who were following John the Baptist. They believed John the Baptist's preaching. They got baptized by John the Baptist. But John the Baptist was just the forerunner, the one to introduce Jesus. And so he had to be removed and taken to glory, which he was. And when he made that statement in John 3:30, he must increase, I must decrease. Little did he realize that that was prophetic about himself, that it wouldn't be long after he'd be taken to glory. Be careful. Don't allow the devil to use trials to make you doubt. Because doubting is sin. It truly is. You know, the Bible says, be careful for nothing. That word careful means anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Don't get anxious. Don't start to panic. Don't start to worry. Is God going to take care of me? Is God going to watch over me? Is God going to accomplish His will in my life? Of course He is. But not necessarily the way you expect Him to. We don't know what God has planned for our lives. All those people that died for their faith in Fox's Book of Martyrs, Hebrews chapter 11, did they expect that? Of course not. Are they in heaven? Yes. They're with the Lord. So don't allow a trial, a tribulation, a situation that wasn't what you anticipated to cause you to doubt that God is true and that God's word is true and that God is going to do what He wants to do in your life. Please, don't allow that to happen. Trust the Lord. God is good. God is good all the time. And God will take care of you. And just like Jesus said to John, look what I've done. Look who I am. He says the same to us. Look who I am. Look what I've done in your life. I've saved you from hell. I've given you eternal life. I've given you a home in heaven. I'm going to watch over you. Not necessarily in the way you might expect, but I am going to watch over you. You're going to have some trials. God promised that. If you would look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, God promised that we're going to have trials. Just like John the Baptist had a trial, we're going to have trials. Notice what he says here, 1 Peter 5:10. The God of all grace who hath called you into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So God's promising there in that verse that He's going to perfect you, that He's going to establish you, that He's going to strengthen you, that He's going to settle you after you've suffered a while. Did John the Baptist come into his amazing ministry expecting to suffer the way he did, expecting to be put in prison so early, expecting to be beheaded? Of course not. But was it all part of God's will? Absolutely. And one day we'll get to walk up to John the Baptist and talk to him. Imagine that. So don't allow the devil to make you doubt, like he did Elijah, like he did John the Baptist, like he does others when the trials come. Don't allow it to happen. Trust the Lord. Trust that He answers His promises. Trust that He